Welcome to the Mothball Prophecies. I am your host, Jonathan. Well, it's officially October, so I've been holing up with some of my favorite horror movies. It seems like when we, as a people, are faced with stress or have a dire outlook on the world, we turn to science fiction, horror, fantasy, the things that either reflect our fears or allow us to escape those stresses. One need only look at the economic and social situations of the 1970s to see a spike in horror and science fiction that came out during that era. And again in the late 80s with the onset of the Reagan-era recession that carried over into the 90s. Side note, it was a fantastic time for anyone with access to a local video rental store. And for those listeners who have no idea what the hell I'm talking about, ask someone over 40, or go explore a few of the documentaries about groups that are trying to preserve VHS tapes. During the Great Recession of 2008-2009, horror and science fiction also came to the forefront, most notably with the releases of The Fourth Kind and Paranormal Activity. But there are other things that seem to go beyond entertainment that also coincide with periods of great stress for society, which can also be tracked to the aforementioned periods in our history. I'm talking about UFO sightings. What sparked this topic was an announcement from MUFON that there was a spike this year being 2020, for those of you who find this recording after the Spider-Pocalypse of 2456, in UFO sighting cases. Even in New York State alone, the number rose from 151 cases in 2019 to 184 cases in 2020, and the year isn't over yet. And I'm sure that someone out there is going to say that this whole pandemic is attracting the attention of extraterrestrials. Maybe they want to see how we're handling this damn thing. Maybe they're preparing for an invasion. Maybe something's gone awry in this little biosphere they set up tens of thousands of years ago, and they just want to make sure we survive so that they can continue those hybrid experiments. Get your bingo cards ready, but maybe, just maybe, there are other explanations. After all, hanging things on extraterrestrials simply because we do not have all the data is what Carl Sagan likened to New Dress for Old-Time Religion. And yes, I invoked Sagan, so quit your groaning. The truth is, we kinda suck at identifying things in the sky, even in broad daylight. I'm looking at you, New Jersey. Now, I freely admit that not everything can be chalked up to owls, military maneuvers, or seagulls, but there are some very terrestrial factors that may be contributing to an increase in UFO sightings this year. First, many of us have a lot of time on our hands right now, and not necessarily by choice. People may simply be doing more sky gazing than usual, seeing things they've never noticed before and reporting them as unidentified objects. And to those people, those objects are very much unidentified. We shouldn't mock them. Go to South Dakota or Arizona or Wyoming, and you can get a very clear view of the night sky, completely uninterrupted by light pollution. You can watch our satellites passing overhead, and if you didn't know what they were, you'd wonder why a light that was very obviously higher up than the altitude ceiling of any aircraft we know was casually flying over your area like it didn't have a care in the world. Second, and this ties back a bit to what I was discussing at the start of the episode, we have fantastic imaginations. We naturally identify or create patterns from the information we are presented, whether it's constellations, anthropomorphizing faces into the bark patterns on trees, to taking a strand of truth and weaving urban legends that become accepted for decades. And I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm Sure, a jackass like the late Philip Klass would bypass everything I just mentioned and point to the fact that more people have been microdosing hallucinogens since the start of the pandemic as a way to manage their mental health. You know, because access to proper mental health was a challenge before the pandemic, and now that one-on-one experience is non-existent. Not to mention, people are already under financial strains and can't afford the mental health care they need right now. But Philip Klass would go straight for the drug use as the reason why people are seeing more UFOs. It was his MO going back to the 1970s. However, not everyone who sees UFOs or strange beings uses drugs. In fact, next week, I'm going to get into a terrifying incident that was experienced by multiple witnesses while they were stone-cold sober. In fact, they had no history of using drugs ever, and they weren't under any emotional or mental duress at the time they experienced what they did. To get back on track, people may just want distraction from all of this. A light in the sky can quickly turn into our own personal snipe hunt, or a thought exercise that is so far removed from the 24-hour news cycle that it allows us to escape and ponder the notions that are bigger than who said what during which topical event. I personally gravitate towards UFO events that have multiple witnesses for a few reasons. When one person has a sighting or encounter, the event becomes extremely personal, sometimes life-altering. When there are multiple witnesses, especially from very different vantage points, we get a consensus and question the conflicting information later. And it's interesting to track the witnesses in the following years. Go watch the movie Travis to see how everyone involved in that UFO case was impacted from 1975 until this very day. Travis Walton hasn't deviated from his story, and neither have the others involved. But their reflection on the why and how of it all has evolved over the years, and I find that extremely interesting. So while many of the objects have very mundane origins, it's very evident that something as simple as seeing a blimp at a weird angle or a pinprick of light in the night sky can inspire our imaginations to take so many different paths to make the unknown, even if it is just unknown to the observer, fit into the reality we do know and do understand. Also, the ongoing news articles about Navy pilots and the recently created committee to, once again, study unidentified flying objects has probably contributed to the increase in sightings. But again, those articles aren't exactly in everyone's faces right now, which brings up questions about people being predisposed to that information and tying it to what they saw. And that's a long conversation on its own that I'm simply not going to get into, and not just because I haven't microdosed this evening. But I've never turned away outside information, so if anyone listening has an idea as to what people are seeing or why there's been an increase in UFO sightings, drop me a line. I'll put my email in the show notes. And that's pretty much all I have to say on the topic right now. I mean, this is a casual edition of the Mothball Prophecies, after all. We're not doing a deep dive into anything. It was just simply what's been on my mind today, and probably for the past week. As I mentioned, it's October, so keep sending in your stories and recordings for our Mothball-a-ween contest. You could win some sweet Mothball Prophecies merchandise, and I'm designing a special t-shirt that will only be going to the winners. So if you've got a memory you'd like to share of a strange event, or a bit of fiction, or even a song, email them to mothball@crescentcitymedia.com. Until next time, sleep tight.